Now, I'm going to highlight a method of looking at your mind, of thinking about the way that you think. Viewing your mind as a toolbox, it only contains what you put into it. By adopting a new method of conceptualizing how you catalog and retrieve thoughts, we can also highlight your thoughts about thinking. Some of our thoughts are always about organization, about the way we put things into boxes, sort our thoughts, and use the mechanisms and tricks of the mind to better be productive in everyday life. Now, we place a lot of stock in the idea that you can order the affairs of your mind, if only you direct your attention to them. We learn habituated responses, things that occur in our thoughts in response to other things, thoughts about thinking. People learn memory devices. There's a whole industry of mnemonics, ways of studying, shortening, retaining information. People learn focus for the sake of the boring duties they have in the world. Perhaps they serve a purpose, such as for work. Perhaps they enrich the self, like when you use mnemonic devices and increased focus to study. But the use of ways of remembering things, categorizing relevant information, forgetting irrelevant information. Doing so for the sake of pleasure is very rarely explored. Likewise, we learn focus. We learn focus for the sake of pruning out our unwanted thoughts, getting rid of bad habits, and again, there is a whole industry centered around that. But this pruning of thoughts for the sake of pleasure is undone, forgetting something so we may later surprise ourselves, or removing a learned untruth in favor of a more titillating truth. But the flip side of that is, despite being unexplored, we can learn to categorize information as important or unimportant, to put even pleasurable information in the forefront of our mind and focus on it to the exclusion of all else, or at the back of our minds where accessing it is such a hassle that we don't bother. Organizing your own mind for fun is rarely seen as societally useful, and so there is little emphasis or encouragement centered around it. The possibility hides in plain sight. So, now I begin with a discussion of the selfish mind. But let me amend that, as you may amend your own memory when we continue, reaching in to modify. Let us say the self-concerned mind instead, the mind which nurtures itself so it may benefit others, and the one doing the steering from behind the eyelids. Playful inclinations worth exploring, setting up the dominoes subconsciously, to be knocked over later by a deliberate action, activated by the conscious mind. I advocate welcoming and embracing the self-concerned mind as a means of nurturing. The mind is a toolbox. It only contains what you put in. But the things which you take out can create a great deal of benefit, even outside of professional fields. By adding a new tool to this toolbox, you can prepare yourself to explore new vistas of understanding your own brain and your own needs. If, for example, you feel intense pleasure radiating through your body whenever you cross something off your to-do list, because you have habituated yourself to feel pleasure and satisfaction at that time through logically thinking about the release and relief and how much you benefit, imagine how much of a benefit that would be. You would end up rejuvenated, calm, progressing prior to your next task, and calm after each one. Meditation on the idea of pleasure, that by accomplishing any task, you are creating breathing room, free space. That's all it takes. To learn a new way of connecting up your thoughts, associating ideas and experiences. And that's how it is. The views I've elaborated upon here are conducive to examining one's own thoughts and deriving something approaching the truth. However, like I said, Organizing your own thoughts for fun is no less valid. There is one past, the flowing, complex day that you left behind when you fell under, with me. There are many possible futures. For simplicity, let us say it branches into two. One past, two futures. But all three are dependent on our location of the now, the pinch of the hourglass. Perhaps an unusually shaped hourglass, because the present moves into the future based on our choices, merging and dividing. One, two, three, and perhaps more, different splits. Sometimes there's only really one choice to make, a future that proceeds from that pinch of the hourglass and expands out into more and more choices. Choices about what situation you move from and what one you accept. There are external realities that we are forced to interface with, and then there are internal realities we can choose. These internal realities exist in stories we tell ourselves. Justifications, explanations, expectations about how the world works, both our world and that of others. So accepting this consensus view of reality going forward, I ask you to do an enjoyable thing, which requires focus. That same focus we mentioned adding to your toolbox. Set everything prior to this moment out of your mind. That means even the elaborate but pleasurable journey down. The intricacies of the examined mind. The self-concerned mind, which organizes itself not simply for productivity, but for the pleasure of an organized world, and the sake of the free time to become relaxed and disorganized, in safety and peace. You bask in a greater amount of pleasure when your mind's tools are used for both recreation and productivity. Take this capacity to focus, the ability to focus on one task to the exclusion of all others, a capacity to forget. Add that to your toolbox. If we could remember everything at all times, it would be quite difficult to focus on the immediate task in front of us, to choose from among the myriad futures however many choices are relevant, and only to consider those, so that while the number may be 5 or 6, you'll know there are really only 2 to choose between. That same process we use on tests to decide which of these answers are patently untrue, and usually only 1 or 2 likely routes present themselves. So, it would be difficult to focus on the immediate task in front of us if we could vividly remember more enjoyable things we could be doing and have them hanging over our heads. Likewise, it is acceptable to forget sometimes, to forget the numbers of possible futures. Forget the numbers so that when you attempt to reach for them, your mind conceptualizing and holding them there, they simply fall away. You know how, as you sink down, the movement of your limbs becomes less and less important? Well, it'll be like that. You may attempt to move your limbs, but my intricate reasoning and soothing words have already helped you to a place where it is simple to count your way down and count yourself out. Toiling with numbers is less relevant. They are firm artifacts of the busy and complex world outside the confines of our discussion. By leaving them by the wayside, you advance your own interests. Now, as I said, if you tried to think about moving your limbs, you'd find you were deep enough down that leaving them where they are is more enjoyable. And so you follow my voice. Likewise, mentally reaching for the numbers, any numbers, would be less useful. You may grasp and conjure a single number, sure, but that would be an exhausting, mind-draining experience. To take the number 1, for example, from your mind and line it up in your head, holding it there is like trying to hold water in your cupped hand. You can do it, though it will eventually soak into your skin, consumed by the ether. So once you have the first number lined up, a bit of water in your palm, you grasp for the second. And that is even more water pooled in your hand, so some rolls over the edge and the second number is vaguer than the first. Furthermore, my voice is resonating into you, making your body drowsy and droopy, making the water ripple and slosh. So the cupped hand holding the water, the cupped mind grasping the numbers, wants only to fall by your side, slack and relaxed, thoughtless when it comes to numeracy, thoughtful when it comes to introspective editing of your mind. Thus, when you think the third number, it is so much effort that your hand may fall effortlessly, relaxingly down as a signal to the rest of you to follow, even as the numbers trickle away, for the third was too much to hold. And as you are overtaken by numberless, memoryless, toolbox-enhancing sleep.